Thank you. Thank you. Thomas Dasgaard conducting the BBC Symphony Orchestra in Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 6 in B minor, the Pathétique. Long been a desire by people to read something into the score of Tchaikovsky's last symphony. Even the composer, who didn't want to divulge a meaning, admitted that it had something of the quality of a requiem about it. Certainly reflected in the finale, no grand ending, cellos and basses playing so quietly, trailing off into silence. Dasgaard back on the platform again. Principal bassoonist Graham Sheen takes the first bow. Clarinetist Richard Hosford. And the whole of the BBC Symphony Orchestra rises to its feet. A sort of musical swan song, a pre-sentiment of imminent death. That was how the Russian Musical Gazette grandly proclaimed the Pathétique after what was just the second performance of the work at a memorial concert for Tchaikovsky in November 1893, weeks after his death, probably from cholera. Thomas Dasgaard, chief conductor of the Swedish Chamber Orchestra for 15 years now, our conductor laureate of the Danish National Symphony Orchestra. With the Swedish Chamber Orchestra, he's recorded complete Beethoven orchestral works and the Schumann Symphony Cycle. Shaking hands now with Stephen Bryant, leader of the BBC Symphony Orchestra, Caroline Harrison, principal viola player, Graham Bradshaw, principal cellist. Well, as he rises to the rostrum, standing out in his white tuxedo, shock of silver hair, leaves the platform again, and it's time for us to leave you from the Royal Albert Hall. Good night for now. Back to Jonathan Swain at Broadcasting House.
Petrok, thank you very much. Petrok Trelawney there. And just to add, there's a chance to hear tonight's prom again here on BBC Radio 3 next Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Well, we've two visits to the Royal Albert Hall tomorrow. The first of them tomorrow afternoon, a prom of popular classics for all the family, fronted by none other than Wallace and Gromit. That's tomorrow afternoon here on Radio 3 from 3:30. And then we're back at the hall in the evening. Mark Elder directing the Aldborough World Orchestra, a brand new ensemble of young musicians brought together from every continent. And the Aldborough Orchestra's programme sets off, appropriately enough, with Benjamin Britten, his Sinfonia da Requiem, written during the Second World War. It ends with the work which had its notorious premiere on the eve of the First War, Stravinsky's Rite of Spring. In between them, the Adagio from Mahler's unfinished Tenth Symphony, and At the Speed of Stillness, a BBC commission from one of the UK's most exciting new composing talents, Charlotte Bray. That's tomorrow night, live from the Royal Albert Hall, here on Radio 3, the home of the BBC Proms, starting at 8 o'clock. Well, back to tonight, and in a little over 40 minutes, we're live at Charlton Park in Wiltshire for more from the premier global festival of world music, our second visit to this year's WOMAD, is at 10:30. And before it, a Between the Ears feature on an American radio station that has an unusual preoccupation with obituaries. For the moment, a return to Danish music. Only 6 minutes of Ruth Langor to open tonight's prom, so here's something of his a little more substantial in length, if not in scoring. It's a wind septet he wrote in 1915 in his early 20s. Nothing especially eccentric here, unlike the Ixion Symphony earlier on in tonight's prom. This could almost be a piece of wind music by Ruth Langor's fellow Dane, Carl Nielsen. The players are members of the Ranus Chamber Orchestra.
Thank you. Thank you.
Members of the Ranus Chamber Orchestra in the Wind Septet by the Danish composer Ruth Langor. He wrote it in 1915 in his early 20s. So around the same time as his Music of the Spheres, which you may remember from a BBC prom a few seasons ago. The Albert Hall, just the perfect place for it. And his Ixion Symphony opened tonight's prom, of course. Well, Benjamin Britten in tomorrow night's prom, his Sinfonia da Requiem, and an example now of Benjamin Britten, the conductor, that unlikely thing you might think, Britten conducting Delius. These two aquarelles are arrangements Delius's amanuensis Eric Fenby made of a couple of Delius part songs, originally written to be sung of a summer night on the water. So that's the reason Fenby called them aquarelles. Britten here conducting the English Chamber Orchestra.
Thank you.
Benjamin Britten conducting the strings of the English Chamber Orchestra in the Two Aquarelles by Delius.
Muslims having to pray in the open air. It tells a story about the relationship between today's Spain and its Muslim population.
Between 711 and 1492, Spain was under Muslim rule.
History, heritage, patrimony, that they spend millions of euros protecting, but they haven't quite figured out what to do with the actual Muslims living among them now.
Stepping Stones of Islamic Spain, presented by Michael Portillo on BBC Radio 4 tomorrow afternoon at 1:30.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's 10 o'clock and time now for this week's Between the Ears, recorded entirely on location in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains in the southern United States. This week's edition visits WPAQ740AM, a radio station founded in 1948 in the town of Mount Airy that has an unusual preoccupation with obituaries. This is Obituary Notice.
In the obituary column of the
radio stations down that way, your left going that way.
This is WPAQ. We'll have the obituaries in just a
We're up here on the north end of Mount Airy.
And turning to the morning obituaries, Mrs. Mary Jane Hill Beasley, age 52, of Claudeville, passed away Sunday at Pioneer Community Hospital. She was born in Patrick County on September 9, 1959, to the late Kirby Lester Hill and Edith Clara Hill. She was a member of Temple Baptist Church in Mount Airy.
And all have sinned.
Mrs. Beasley is
from short of the glory of God. And the soul that sinneth it shall die.
Where the soul shall never die.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. And then in verses 26 it says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that's a great gift because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave, that's a gift, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish.
Listen to the complete aerial obituaries over WPAQ Monday through Saturday at 7:40 a.m. in their condensed form at 1:30 p.m. and in their entirety at 4:30 p.m. On Sunday, the obituaries are heard as part of the news at 8:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. 7:52 your time, a.m. 7:40, WPAQ, Mount Airy, North Carolina.
Four new ones. Mr. Donald Ray Wood. Mrs. Norma Ella Hill Gerald, that's a long name. Mrs. Dorothy Snowdy Chandler. Mr. Garland Austin Smith. A lot of times you have to be from here to know how to pronounce Snowdy. You would think that was Snotty, the way it's spelled, but you have to know the family names here. And that's why you need to proofread these things. And, you know, one thing that they do is they list who preceded them in death. That takes a while, you know, especially if they're 90-some years old. Just imagine how many preceded them in death. Okay, they'll list all of those.
Mary Jane Hardy, Tuesday, November 15th.
This is Dobie, was born December 9th, 1921.
He was a retired manager from Glasgow Slide Company and was a member of Mount Airy Westland Church. He was retired from
And see, we're passing the Grace Moravian Church right here, corner of North Main Street and Grace Street. They like to name a lot of the streets in this town after the churches that are on them. Mount Airy Fire Department on the left. That's Linda.
Oh, yes, every denomination has churches here. Several, in fact. I guess they're more Baptist than anything else. And then I guess next would be the Methodist, and Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Jehovah's Witnesses.
In the 1700s, it was a crossroads for hunters and for Indians who came hunting for small animals. And so the community, the Hollows, developed. And that's the way we were organized. Later on, it became farms, and one of the farms was named Mount Airy because the man's home was on the top of a hill, and it was very windy all the time. So that's how the name originated.
February 25th, 1885.
A bill to be entitled an act to incorporate the town of Mount Airy in Surrey County.
The General Assembly of North Carolina do enact that the town of Mount Airy be and the same is hereby incorporated by the name and style of the town of Mount Airy.
And I wanted to show you this area right through here. To me, it's just the most beautiful farming area. Rolling hills. You look that way, and about 270 degrees back the other way, we'll see the other loop of the mountains. This whole area in here is like in a horseshoe, the mountains being the outer rim. Just keep rolling your eyes from right to left and see if you can see the beauty that I see.
One of the things that's interesting to me is the great seal of the city of Mount Airy, you know, the big official seal, is divided into quadrants. And one of the quadrants features tobacco, and one of the quadrants features textiles, and one of the quadrants features granite, and one of them features furniture. And of the quadrants, really, only granite is really remaining at any kind of strength that it once had. And we've actually talked about it before, that maybe it's time to design a new city seal because your city seal is outdated, because the industries that it celebrates while the town was built on them no longer exist at all. Maybe it's better if we go to something with just a mountain in it, or, you know, a clock tower.
This area was built on tobacco. Nobody, see these old barns right here? This was an old stick barn that people, that's all they did was hand labor. Everything was hand labor. And that was like that when I was 10 years old.
Welcome, friends, as the Mount Airy Tobacco Board of Trade presents the opening day ceremonies of the 1952 tobacco market, originating from the Planter's Warehouse. Now, with the on-the-spot coverage of this event, here is Joe Johnson.
Thank you very much, Tom, and howdy to our good friends and neighbors. Welcome to the opening day
on the greater Mount Airy tobacco market.
Tobacco was such an important commodity for us. I mean, you know, all my family, they all had tobacco farms and they had warehouses and things like that, and that's a thing of the past now. I don't have a single relative that has any tobacco now. And so it really has changed.
Well, my dad had a floor covering business,
but when I got ready to go to college, he raised some tobacco for extra money.
In this area, here in particular, on this road, there's a field beside my grandmother's house that is unused, and if you go on down the road, there's bottom land where they grow cabbage and corn now. But back in the day, it was all tobacco in this area, and that has disappeared just in the last 10 to 15 years.
Introduce Mr. Hennis Epperson of Station WSYD, Mount Airy, North Carolina. Come in, Hennis.
Regional coverage of U.S. tobacco land, it says. This is from the 60s, 1960s. Half of all the tobacco produced in the United States is grown and cured in range of the WPAQ signal. Most of this half-billion-dollar crop is manufactured into cigarettes and pipe tobacco in the same area. Wow.
The next time you visit your druggist to banish a headache you see, just step up and ask for a ready, then right on the ball you will be. Hello there, this is Uncle Joe on the ball again with good news about quick headache relief if you'll only use Ready headache powders.
Here's Moody Funeral Homes right here. Moody's have been the funeral home of choice in Mount Airy for, I think they're working on their third generation now.
That's a very My nice grandfather place. And very father busy. Was close on friends with day, Mr. Epperson. And the newspaper at the time only printed 2 days a week. So a lot of times after the funeral was mentioned in the newspaper, it was over. And so they got together and they thought Mr. Epperson was on the air every day, all day long. And I think he actually mentioned it to my father, said, have you ever thought about let's putting these on the radio? And then people can hear them every day and stay up to speed with what's going on in the community. And actually, that's when
I listened to them to try to catch all of them.
We actually,
I'm getting in that stage and all that. I grew up with people that I know that's done live. And that's the reason I listened to it. And all my family's dead and gone. I'm on one left out of five.
Most of the time on the obituaries, it's the old folks that's killed over, not the young folks. So more reason for the older folks to listen to it than anybody our age or younger. So
it shows that it really is a small town, I guess, because everybody knows everybody. I won't personally know them, but my mom will be like, oh, I know her. She was such and such as
There's
mother.
There's one thing about the obituaries here at WPAQ, whether it be a mayor or a commissioner or someone along that line here in the town, or if it just be a factory worker, bricklayer, ditch digger, somewhere along that line, they get the same reference and they get the same benevolence. It's no big me's and little u's or big i's and little u's. That's one good thing about the obituary is it gives the common man a nod as well. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing for our community, and I do believe it'd be a good thing for any community.
In addition to his parents, Mr. Smith was preceded in
Roger Nichols, Jody and Brian Salter, Richard and Norma Wacker,
Lorraine Busick, and Anna Mae Hutton, three brothers.
It's not always easy to find work here. Here's another big closed textile mill here on your right. You see, available for sale, 200,000 square feet.
Manufacturing like furniture. That were the main things, and then later came the socks. You know, with rent. Yeah, you know.
Well, I've got on some socks right here. They're solid nylon, and you don't see them nowhere. I worked at Renfro Hose Mill for 30 years. One time, we was leading this in the world on socks and all.
Industry started leaving, and it depends on who you talk to. About the time they started the free trade agreements, and suddenly the textile jobs started going away quickly. The common perception around is that was about the time that it started. That would be mid-80s or so, early to mid-90s. I mean, we had businesses that were employing thousands of people in this town, and they were just gone, just non-existent, mostly textile. But there have been bigger furniture companies that just went completely out of business, too. Furniture is really big in terms of overseas. Someone has discovered that you can make furniture in Vietnam for really
much
cheap
more
and
great.
Not bad quality
I think
either.
When we were in our 20s, 30, 40 years ago, it was a booming town. We were importing employees, and so life was good. People were making money, and you know, everybody had a TV and a car kind of thing. I think it's very different now. You hope they have a job.
Staff and management of WPAQ extend our condolences to the bereaved.
But anyway,
it's right now approximately 18
minutes. Then we want to welcome all of our widows and widowers today. Thank you for being here. We have a meal prepared for all of our widows and widowers right after church today.
On behalf of the staff and management here at WPAQ, we send out our prayers and condolences to those who've lost loved ones this time. Listen to the complete area obituaries over WPAQ Monday through Saturday at 7:40 a.m. in their condensed form at 1:30 p.m.
I don't want anybody to pass away, but I enjoy reading obituaries because I like to put a lot of reverence into it, and I want the family to be proud of what we're doing and be thankful that
when you hear your own people's, it's something that, you know, is only going to come around one time, and it's sort of a, no, I don't think it's morbid, but I'll never forget, you know, when they read my dad's over the radio, too. So it was definitely, I don't want to say a sense of closure, but it's part of the experience, too. Hearing it, you know, makes it seem more, I don't know, makes it sink in more. Yeah. I hope I don't start crying now. I was saying something funny, now I'm going to start crying.
That was really different that day to hear my dad's obituary on the air. I didn't have the opportunity to read it. I was not doing an air shift at the time. So, you know, I'd listened to all these other people before, and now I really was tuned in. You know, here's my father. I can't believe it. You know, we always thought he would be here forever. I still feel his hand on my shoulder. But it was a moment to have a smile on your face, even though you were sad that, you know, you lost your father, but yet you could smile knowing that his accomplishments were worthwhile. And I knew that he'd gone to a better world. And you can look back and say, well, those were 86 years of value.
Mr. Ralph Duard Epperson, age 85, of 312 Robin Road, Mount Airy, passed away Wednesday, May 31st, at Wake Forest University Baptist Medical Center in Winston-Salem. Mr. Epperson was born April 5th, 1921, in Patrick County, Virginia, to the late Harry and Lula Watson Epperson. Mr. Epperson graduated from Blue Ridge High School in Ararat, Virginia, and earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Radio Engineering from John Brown University in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. He later received an honorary doctorate law degree from John Brown University. He worked at the Naval Research Laboratory in Washington, D.C. during World War II. Founded the first radio station, WPAQ 740 AM, in Surrey County in 1948. Throughout the years, he's been founded and has organized the WPAQ.
I
think our values have changed. Here's an example. I used to spend the night with a friend, and they would have a reading from the Bible, and then we would go around, teenagers, and we would all have a prayer, you know. And that was just expected in that home every time you went. That's what you did, and I don't think any of that's going on now.
That's somewhat a rural way of life that is being lost here. People don't visit anymore. They don't sit on the porch and talk with their neighbors anymore. Everything is geared towards iPads and iPhones and TV, getting your information that way. But we've lost something in not being able to see the other person's eyes and the expression in their face as they tell you
a story.
I call
it Dixie. Just rural country, sort of isolated. It's on its deathbed. You know, because it's not being preserved by folks in our generation, and it doesn't look like there's much hope for folks in the next generation to preserve it either, you know. But it does exist.
I think there is a little hope. It's up to the younger generation. The economy, the way it's kind of fell apart. It's done good and bad things. Good in a way that some people are actually coming together to help one another. You know, there's some good left out there in the world, and we can have that back, what did years ago. Be a family once again.
This is WPAQ, Mount Airy, North Carolina, urging you to make regular church attendance a part of your lifestyle.
Whatever you do, please be sure to make church a part of your weekend. You'll be glad you did, and don't drink. You'll be glad you didn't. And you people out there in radio land, stay tuned for Sundown Serenade and the latest news and weather information. And until next time, so long, and may God bless you.
For the Bible tells me so, let the one to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong.
Obituary Notice was produced by Peter Meanwell, and the programme was first broadcast in January this year.
The BBC World Roots Academy Late Night Prom.
At the age of 13, I decided to play the accordion because I saw this master on the accordion that came from Colombia. First time I saw that accordion, that sound, I said, wow, I really want to play that now.
20-year-old Colombian accordion player José Hernando Noguera and friends perform the traditional music of his Latin American heritage. The World Roots Academy Late Night Prom, live on BBC Radio 3 on Tuesday night at 10:15.
Trust me, they will dance to it.
This is BBC Radio 3, it's 10:30, and now we continue our weekend of live broadcasts from the 2012 WOMAD Festival. So let's go over to the festival site in Charlton Park in Wiltshire to join Andrew McGregor.
Thanks, Jonathan. Welcome to Saturday Night WOMAD. Welcome back to anyone who's been here, not just this weekend already, but in the festival's 30-year history, or Radio 3's own. What is it? Some 14 years we've been broadcasting from WOMAD now, very nearly half the festival's existence. Well, we've got some great highlights and live performances coming up. Lopper, Lucy and Marianne are round about the various stages still going, ready to introduce the acts and tell us who's where. Between now and 1 a.m, we have tonight's live headline act. Already on, we'll be joining him a little later, the reigning king of Algerian Rai, Khaled, live on the open-air stage. There's Portuguese band Deolinda, live in the Siam tent near the close tonight. Nigeria's Afrobeat standard-bearer Femi Kuti in the middle, and my interview with him backstage. And from our own Radio 3 stage earlier this evening, making their WOMAD debut, the sound of tradition resurgent in Scotland in the hands of a new generation. This is Braybach, the new paradigm. We'll be right back. Braback, a brilliant young Scottish band built on the powerful foundation of bagpipes, flute and fiddle. Callum, Megan, Ewan, James and James. Wonderful blend of tradition, talent and new ideas. Marianne Kennedy was earlier calling it the best Braback set she's ever heard. So listen out for more on World on 3 this coming Friday, I think. Definitely one of the highlights from the Radio 3 stage this evening. There will be more. And if you enjoy Braback, then you might be able to catch them at the Warwick Folk Festival tomorrow before they head back home for the Edinburgh Fringe and Piping Live in Glasgow. Well, with more highlights from the Radio 3 stage, the best klezmer group in London, they've been called, although having heard them, I think it's selling them a little short, Shekoyok. And we'll be going there live a bit later to hear a Tuareg bluesman, a guitar hero known as the Desert Rebel. Well, that's after an appointment with the huge open-air stage here at WOMAD. Thousands right now are crowding in to hear the Saturday night headline act. Lucy Duran is there stage side for us. Lucy, he's one of the most famous, best-selling musicians from North Africa and the Arabic world. So introduce us to Khaled.
Well, yes, as you say, I think actually he's probably the best-selling world music artist ever. He's sold millions and millions of copies of his albums. And what's wonderful about him is that he's got such a genuine voice. It's such a genuine North African voice. And it doesn't change. He started his career back in the early 80s, when in those days he was called Sheb Khaled, Young Khaled. He's now, I think, 52. He's a little bit chubby. He's going grey. But he's incredibly youthful and doing a fabulously energetic set here on the open-air stage. And there must be at least 10,000 people there, all dancing to his music.
And the energy is so important, isn't he? He's a real high-energy performer. I can see him just dancing and almost sort of cartwheeling on the stage on the monitor in the studio here. But just give us a very brief introduction to the kind of music we're going to hear, to Rai music from Algeria.
Well, Rai music, it really came up. He actually popularized it. Khaled popularized it in the 1980s. But it's an older music. It's a sort of a fusion music from mainly from sort of the Berber area of North Africa, Algeria. And he modernized it and brought in all of these things that we are hearing right now, rock music, reggae, all kinds of different sounds into it. But at the base of all the music is this very, very strong North African percussion sound and his very, very North African voice, which has remained uncompromisingly North African, even in his, you know, wildest moments of success. He's never kind of sold out or gone hugely commercial. He's just stayed as he is, and that's why he continues to be so popular. And Rai is, which means opinion, it's the music of the youth. And even though he's growing older, he still is the voice of the youth. He's the voice of the disenfranchised youth of North Africa. He's also the voice of hope. And I'm sure you've seen this, Andrew. He's got such a wonderful smile on his face. He communicates, he just radiates joy and energy. He's an absolute delight to watch.
Yeah,
Didi, one of Khaled's greatest hits, live on the open-air stage at WOMAD. Algerian Rai meeting rock, funk, a little bit of heavy metal guitar as well. Khaled, the undisputed king of Rai, the reigning monarch, bestriding the open-air stage here at WOMAD. Tens of thousands flocking to hear him live right here, right now. And he's fantastic to meet as well. The same energy comes across in conversation as does on stage. I know this from talking to him at the Radio 3 World Music Awards when they were up in Scotland, and he was just irrepressible, tremendous fun, a real character. That huge grin that Lucy Durand was describing, the energy levels, the dancing, and, well, as she was saying just before she introduced him to us from the stage side, he has to be one of the best-selling world music artists of our time. No sign of him slowing down whatsoever. Well, the stage has emptied just for the moment. We are just in time to join the audience there at the open-air stage at the end of Khaled's WOMAD set this evening. But a little bird backstage tells me it is worth hanging around for a little longer. It's almost certain that there will be an encore, if not encores. There is action. Guitars are being strapped back on. Somebody's just come back behind the drums and the riser. We will get more music. Back to the main stage. More from Khaled.
Yeah.